Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary and it's my pleasure to join you in reading God's Word. Today is Thursday, September 30th, and I'm reading from the New International Version. Today we are in James chapter 5, Psalm 121, and Daniel 2:31 through the end of the chapter. We are finishing up the book of James today, and in this section, James will talk about warning the rich oppressors, patience in suffering, and then the prayer of faith. Now listen, you rich people, weep and wail because of the misery that is coming to you. Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. Their corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire. You have hoarded wealth in the last days. Look, the wages you failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields are crying out against you. The cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. You have condemned and murdered the innocent one who was not opposing you. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone bring back that person, remember this: whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Before we move on, I want to talk about the last section of James chapter 5. Remember, it says, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs of praise. If any is sick, let him call the elders. In Francis Chan's video on this section of scripture, he reminds us that prayer is our first response. If we're suffering, pray. If we are in a moment where we're happy, pray. If we're in need, we must look upward. We should come to God first before we go to anyone else. He should be our first love. And then he goes on to talk about Elijah in verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, or as in some version that says, Elijah was a man just like us. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Because Elijah, when he prayed to God, and he asked God to send down fire from heaven. God did it. And here James reminds us when Elijah asked for it not to rain, it didn't. And then for it to rain, it did. But what James is really pointing out to us is that Elijah is no different than us. As Francis Chan would say, he's got nothing on you. None of these biblical heroes, Moses and David and Elijah, none of them are different than us in that we all share human nature. But I think the difficult thing for us is to think that God could really respond to our prayers like he responded to Elijah. And sometimes we get disillusioned, don't we? Because we say, well, I prayed for this and it didn't happen in the way that I thought it would. But I think James is just reminding us that prayer is our first response, and God moves powerfully through our prayers, through the prayers of righteous people, and through our prayers on behalf of others. And that's where he ends the epistle. He says, God can use your prayers to turn someone back from sin. If any among you was wandering from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from the wandering will save his soul from death. Francis says it this way, you can have an eternal impact through your prayers. And I just want to see God use me and you in that way. And so as we pray at the end of this podcast today, I want us to think about the world around us. Think about those whom the Lord has placed in our path. And I want to boldly ask that the Lord would help us to have the kind of faith that Elijah did, that when we pray and when we seek out those who are lost, that God would use us, mere humans, for his glory. And I want us also to have a sense in our spirit that the first love of our life is the Lord. Again, if you want more information on how to access the James Study by Francis Chan, let me know and I will help you to get a login for our church's Right Now Media account. Let's move on now to the Psalms. Today we are reading Psalm 121. A song of ascents. I lift up my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. And now let's turn over to the book of Daniel. Today we're in Daniel chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 31 and go through the end of the chapter. Remember yesterday, we kind of landed with Daniel saying to the king, hey, I can interpret your dream because of God's power in me. And today he's going to interpret that dream. You may want to Google online King Nebuchadnezzar's dream and Daniel or something like that and look for an image of the statue that is described. Your majesty looked, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken to pieces and became like chaff on the threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret it to the king. Your Majesty, you are the King of Kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed all mankind and the beast of the field and the birds in the sky. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything, and as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true and its interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Thank you for listening along as we read God's Word together. It is so exciting for me to read about this dream and Daniel's interpretation, and I see hints of the gospel here when there is a kingdom that is not made by human hands that will arise. Look at verse 44. In those days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed, nor shall the kingdom be left to another people. It shall break into pieces all these kingdoms and bring them to an end, and it shall stand forever. The kingdom of God, it must be, correct? I don't know. Just as you saw that a stone was cut from the mountain by no human hand, this is not by the hand of mankind, and that it broke into pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. This is just hinting towards the eternal kingdom that Christ will bring. One of the references they gave in the study Bible was to Luke chapter 20, where it talks about those who reject Jesus. And it says, "Everyone who falls on that stone will be broken into pieces." So the correlation here is that the new kingdom will break all these other kingdoms into pieces. And whenever it falls on anyone, it will crush him. Meaning when the judgment comes, when the Lord returns, his kingdom will be the only one to stand. just really interesting that so many years before Christ came to earth, Nebuchadnezzar has a dream that foreshadows Christ's kingdom to come. Would you pray with me? Father, we confess to you that we are not always prone to come into your presence first thing, when we're suffering, when we have joy, when we are in need. And so, Lord, we bring to you all of who we are, and we ask, Lord, that you would remind us that you are our first love, and would you give us a spirit of power and knowledge and wisdom, not because we want that for our personal gain, but so that the world around us would see your work on display and so that they might believe. We pray for those in our midst who are sinning and need to be turned to the Lord. And we pray as faithfully as we know how that you would give us opportunities to speak a word for you, that you would work in the midst of our prayers, even outside of us, and that you would bring back those who need to know Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for waking us up again this morning, and thank you for this beautiful day. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.